Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
I'm feeling good waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day, another day. For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down on me perfectly, currently. Feeling the breeze from the sea, and the clouds giving shade to me. Pray for me patiently, growing the food that I eat. And we could never count your blessings every second. So many lessons got me turning to the heavens. Thanks to He for creating me, shaping me, sustaining me. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I gotta thank you for my eyes and my thighs and my toes and my nose and my lips and my smile and my ears and my fears and my mind and my time and my friends and my foes and my trials and my health and my wealth and the love in my life. And the fact that you sent me a beautiful wife, for the good and the bad, for the strength that I had, for my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this deen? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you. I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you.
This topic, the prophetic medicine, with us, he is naturopath Abdullah Oyekole Andrew, and he's very much here with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nam alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Alright, so talking about naturopath Abdullah Oyekole Andrew, for those of us that don't know him, naturopath Abdullah Oyekole Andrew is the CEO of the Criterion Tradome Medical Herbal Home and founder of Criterion Life App. He is a highly skilled and experienced naturopath, marriage counselor, and sex coach. And naturopath Abdullah is dedicated to helping individuals and couples achieve optimal health, harmony, and fulfillment in their personal life. With a holistic approach that combines naturopathic principles, counseling techniques, and specialized coaching methods, he provides comprehensive support to patients seeking to enhance their overall well-being, strengthen their relationships, and improve their sexual health. It's a pleasure to have you once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, so talking about prophetic medicine, because for a whole lot of people that don't know, When we say prophetic message, so what exactly does it mean, and what are its fundamental principles?
Now, prophetic medicine, just as the name says, in Arabic it's called Tibun Nabawi. It refers to the medical practices and teachings of the Islamic Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to some plants, some herbs, some foods, some substances being recommended by the Prophet for the purpose of healing.
Okay, all right. So now, because looking at it, when people first hear prophetic medicine, say medicine, prophetic, is there anything prophetic about medicine? So probably let me also now ask you that. So could there be anything prophetic about medicine? Since you're talking about plants, and we know that these are free gifts of nature, but mind you, when something is natural, anything you attribute to nature, we're saying that it is God-made, God-given gift for us, for the use of mankind. So in this case now, so could there be anything prophetic about medicine?
Medicine, as we all know, have been something that human beings have been using right from the beginning of time to address lots of, you know, their health issues, diseases, ailments, and different challenges. And there are so many plants that have been used for ages. And so now, why do we say some plants or some herbs are prophetic medicine? So simply put, these plants, or most of what is being recommended by the Prophet, they are things, they are substances that have been taken, that have been used for ages, for decades, even before the advent of the Prophet himself. But he confirmed then that, yes, these plants, these herbs, these substances, they have medicinal compounds. And you know, when the Prophet talks as a prophet, so he's talking based on revelation. He's talking based on inspiration from God Almighty. He's divinely ordained and he's getting inspiration from God. So he's giving us an assurance that yes, truly, this particular plant, this particular substance, or this particular treatment modality that you are using, it's truly confirmed by God Almighty, the creator of humanity.
All right. So are there fundamental principles guiding prophetic medicine?
Prophetic medicine falls under natural medicine practice. And for that reason, the principles of prophetic medicine are also in line with principles of natural medicine practice. And some of the principles of natural medicine, principles of prophetic medicine, is holistic approach to health issues. As a prophetic medicine practitioner, we tend to address health issues on a whole level, not just treating the symptoms, not just treating the signs. We treat the health condition on a whole level. We understand the fact that for every symptoms, for every disease, there's always a causative agent. So we try to, you know, take it from the root cause. And that's some of the principles of prophetic medicine. Also, we believe in the usage of natural medicine or natural substances to bring about balance to the body. In the Quran, Allah said, Allah said, verily, He is the one that created for you all what is on the surface of the earth for your own benefit. So in prophetic medicine, we believe that if there is any health condition, if there is any imbalance in an individual's health, we believe that there are some plants, there are some substances, some natural substances that can be used to bring about balance and healing to the person. So these are some of the principles.
All right. So because I'm trying to look at it, and for some of the things that we have actually come across. Now, is it just about medicine or also about some therapies that probably even go beyond just the use of drugs or medicine, probably just some normal prescriptions, or even probably some spiritual aspect of it that goes beyond the physical? Because I know quite well that there are also some, you know, afflictions or ailments that people can have that are not physical. Probably you say someone is a victim of spiritual attack. And you know quite well, you see scholars of probably Islam trying to also have a process of providing therapy, therapeutic services for such victims. So, does this also probably come under prophetic medicine, or is just
good? So, prophetic medicine is a very broad spectrum of treatment, and just as I said earlier, that it's a form of natural medicine practice. Under prophetic medicine, we believe that healing is just beyond, you know, consumption of some substances, of some herbs, or some medications. There are some health conditions that they are better addressed with some lifestyle modifications, dietary recommendations, some, you know,
from what we learn from the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, he is very agile. He, you know, engages in different forms of exercise, different forms of physical activities, and these are also some of what help the body to maintain optimal health. So, which means that exercise is comes under prophetic medicine, because the Prophet himself recommends it a lot.
Okay.
Also, sleep. You know, having enough sleep, sleeping in the afternoon. The Prophet recommended sleeping in the afternoon. Also, and also having enough sleep in the night. So these also have lots of health benefits. Even having good interaction with people, smiling. You know, so many positive vibes that the Prophet encourages us, that these have a lot of influence and a lot of positive impacts on our health.
So all this also fall under prophetic.
Yes.
Medicine.
Then, in the regard of some spiritual, metaphysical conditions that are beyond the physical realm. Yes, there are some health conditions. We as Muslims, we believe that yes, there are some afflictions, there are some diseases that one can be afflicted with that are beyond the normal physical realm. And there is an hadith of where he talks about Al-Ain. That is, evil eye. So there is evil eye, there can be sorcery, there can be, you know, forms of magics and the likes. So Islam believes that all forms of affliction, all forms of diseases, either physical or, you know, metaphysical, we believe that there is always treatment for it.
Okay.
And we believe that healing comes from God Almighty alone, but there are different, you know, approaches to, you know, to address each condition. So for metaphysical conditions, part of the prophetic recommendations to address these conditions are, you know, recitation of some selected verses of the Quran. So there are some verses of the Quran like Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, Amina Rasul, and the likes.
Those ones now, will do also consider them as part of prophetic
meditation? Yes, they are part of it. They are part of the broad.
Thank you very much. Talking about prophetic medicine, how does it differ from conventional medical practices, and are there overlaps or intersections between the two?
Okay, prophetic medicine, as I said earlier, and I'll keep on repeating it, it falls under the broad spectrum of natural medicine practice.
Okay.
So, if I would reconstruct the question, it's as if we are saying like, okay, conventional medicine practice and natural medicine practice, are there, you know, differences, and are there similarities in between them? Yes, there are differences, and part of the differences is there are some principles in conventional medicine that makes it quite different from, you know, prophetic and natural medicine practice. In conventional medicine practice, they tend to address the symptom of a disease in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, they address the symptoms, you know, this person is having the approach, yes,
through the symptoms.
Yes. So while in natural medicine, prophetic medicine, we try to approach the disease from the root cause.
Okay.
We try to approach it from for the exhibition of a symptom, there must be a causative agent. So that particular causative agent is what we should try to address.
Okay.
It might take time. We might not get where we are going to on time, but this is the best way, because we are trying to, you know, to reshape, you know, to put the person in the normal state. So those are some of the differences in between. And also, you know, conventional medicine practice, these are some of the strengths of conventional medicine practice, and we are also working on it in natural prophetic medicine, is that they strictly based their treatments, modulation on research and what is scientifically proven.
Yeah.
So before a allopathy...
empirical in nature.
Yes. So before an allopathy medicine practitioner, as a medical doctor, or, you know, so before they can recommend any treatment for you, any treatment modality, maybe surgery, or so they make sure that it's in line with what have been proven by their sense, by their experts.
Uh-huh.
So, and in natural medicine practice, in professional medicine, firstly, since it's professional medicine, we base our source from the Quran and the Sunnah.
Okay.
That yes, Allah is the one that created us, and He sent messenger to us. So Allah and His messenger, they know best. So if we said this works for this, so we do wait. We don't wait for maybe a scientific evidence to prove it. We know that it is proven already, because
so
it's coming from the Prophet.
So you to only have a confirmatory...
Yes. If there is research work, it is just a confirmation. And it doesn't stop us from using it, because we are already confident that since Allah and His messenger recommended it, then it means that it is best for us.
That's a product of conviction, faith.
Yes, that's faith.
Right.
So we put faith
Why they put signs?
So are there overlaps? Probably when they meet.
Yes, there are overlaps. There are overlaps, and part of the overlaps is that both conventional medicine practice and prophetic medicine, natural medicine practice, we all preach prevention.
Okay.
We all preach prevention. We preach that there are certain health, there are some certain lifestyle habits, some certain dietary habits that if we can abide by those healthy habits, then our body, we try to, we live a good health. And
do you people also conduct tests?
Yes, there are some tests under prophetic medicine practice, and what is going on today in the science, in the medicine world today, there's what we call integrative medicine, whereby you combine both, let me use the word, complementary medicine practices with modern scientific research on medicine. So by with that, there are so many sophisticated machines that have been built to ease diagnosis, so you can get the root cause of the... So we know that these are the ways, these are the principles we use to address health issues. But we integrate those modern, diagnostic techniques with our practice so that it will ease diagnosing a lot. So if you see a modern prophetic medicine practitioner, so in most regard, so they don't just address health issues just based on what they recommend. Is either the person is having his own test equipment, or you recommend you to go for proper diagnosis so that you will know how best
the results will not be used to probably diagnose
treat the disease.
Right. So are there regulators or regulations for prophetic medical practice, and are there certifications for anyone probably who has undergone training, or what's even the process of becoming a prophetic medical practitioner?
Okay, about regulations, prophetic medicine is under natural medicine practice, as I keep on repeating, and as Nigeria is a case study, there are boards, there are different boards in the Ministry of Health that They oversee and regulate natural medicine practice, which prophetic medicine is also, so that there won't just be every Tom, Dick and Harry coming in and claiming to be a practitioner. So there is a board that regulates, and about certification, about qualification, there are different, though in our institutions, in the universities, so there is no particular course or departments where they teach alternative. Though there are some programs, there are some diploma, there are some programs, but
coming up now.
Yes, already they are already in place. So, but there is no degree program or for prophetic medicine. But there are different professional courses both within the country and outside the country where you can learn on prophetic medicine and you get certified. You get this person is qualified to practice. So, but there are so many work is still going on how to more formalize the training and the learning of prophetic medicine.
So what are some key remedies or practices prescribing prophetic medicine?
Now there are so many recommendations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and some of it, let's talk about hijama, that's scooping therapy. The Prophet, may peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, he made some recommendations on the hijama. In one hadith, he said, "Inna ahsana ma tadawaytum bihi al-hijama." Inna ma ahsana ma tadawaytum bihi al-hijama. Amongst the best form of treatment that you use to address your diseases is hijama.
Okay.
That is hijama coping therapy, whereby you create a suction on the skin and you withdraw out some blood that's have some toxic materials in them. So you release them from the body so as to bring about relief, to bring about reduction in inflammation, pains and some other diseases. So this is one of the best treatment therapies. And even scientifically, there are proofs that yes, hijama works well. Because when doing hijama, you create incision, right?
Okay.
You use blade or some sharp objects to create incision. And with that, you are calling the attention of the body defense mechanism to come towards that site of incision.
Okay.
That is, the immune system cells, some immune system cells will be released towards that area, of incision. And if there's any abnormality in that region, they try to restore parity in them.
Okay.
So hijama is a way of triggering the body defense immune system.
Hmm.
So if there is a pain in a region, maybe there is a torn ligament, maybe there is a tissue damage, maybe there is some faults around that region, and you do cooping for that particular place. So you are calling the attention of the immune system to come and restore parity to that region,
wow.
And that makes it a very, very wonderful treatment modality.
Okay, beyond probably
hijama. So there are so many other recommendations, like black seed. The professor said black seed is a cure for all diseases except death. And the reason why black seed will work for lots of health conditions is that it has so many medicinal properties that makes it, very potent to be used for different conditions. It has antioxidant property, it has anti-inflammatory property, it has antimicrobial property, it has immunomodulatory property, it has hepatoprotective property, it has cardioprotective property, it has nephroprotective property, it has lots of medicinal properties, and these are proven by modern science.
Okay, all right, good. So that we don't go too medical with some of these terms and, whatsoever. I don't want you to confuse our listeners one way or the other. But the thing there is, these things are effective. So
effective.
You mentioned copy now.
Black seed, onions, onions, garlic, grape. So
honey,
many.
Honey.
Yes, honey is highly recommended by the Prophet.
That one is even in the Quran itself.
Yes,
so.
Camel milk and camel urine and so many other recommendations by the Prophet. Please be upon him.
During COVID-19 pandemic, there was a notable surge in interest in prophetic medicine, particularly evidenced by the widespread popularity of the black seed that you just mentioned. All right, so this surge in interest actually went beyond religious boundaries, with both Muslims and non-Muslims seeking out black seed for its purported health benefits. This phenomenon actually brought attention to hadith that extolled the healing properties of the black seed, especially the assertion that he made that it can kill every disease, probably except death. So, are there other historical evidence or references existing to support the efficacy of prophetic medicine?
Firstly, during about the COVID-19 surge and how lots of both Muslims and non-Muslims
got to know about prophetic medicine.
In fact, COVID-19 preached a lot on its own. It helps to publicize the efficacy of prophetic recommended medicines. And this is due to the fact that, COVID-19 is caused by a viral infection.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I said when I was talking on black seed, because of its many medicinal properties, so it makes it a very, very good choice. It's easily accessible everywhere. And also, it helps to improve the immune health so much that the body itself can be able to combat and eradicate some pathogens, including COVID-19, as we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic. Have there been any historical? Yes, there have been so many pandemic and epidemic whereby natural medicine and some prophetic medicine have been used that proves to be very effective. And there is this case about, I think it happened around the 18th century or so, whereby there is a pandemic in the Western world then, and all houses, I think it happened in Germany around the 1800s or so. So all houses in that location, in that village, they got the pandemic. It was an endemic though. So it affected everyone except just one house.
Wow.
So after there was a decline in the surge of the epidemic, so the medical research, the researchers then, they tried to, what exactly are these people doing
that prevented
them from having. So they went to them and they asked them, how are you able to prevent this condition from getting to your own family? So the man said he wasn't doing anything special except that he cut onions open, and he places them at the window sides, at the door sides. That's what he does. And every day he cuts onions open and places them on the window sides. And so the scientists, they got some of those onions that he used, and they took them to the lab. They found that on the surface, you know, when you cut onions, you know, it will become wet now.
Yeah.
So on the surface of those onions, they contain so many microorganisms, so many pathogens, you know. So they're like, how is onions able to attract those pathogens in the air? So the nutshell is that onions itself, it has ability to, you know, to attract those pathogens to itself.
In the atmosphere.
So instead of it spreading around to other people, it will attract it to itself.
Mm.
So that is how they are able to. And the prophet himself recommended onions for so many health benefits. So these are some of the stories on how, you know, usage of some natural herbs, which are also confirmed by the prophet, how they be very effective.
All right, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. We'll go on a quick break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us. Still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, your host for today, and we have been discussing prophetic medicine. And taking us through this topic is naturopath Abdullah Oyekwole Andrew, a certified naturopath, and he is a marriage counselor as well and a sex coach. He is taking us through the discussion. You can be part of this by calling the number 07000-917-917. I'll take that again. 07000-917-917. That is the number to call to be a part of the program. And you can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0703-175-6537. That is the number to send your message. We've been discussing prophetic medicine. You can feel free to share your experience with us concerning this. Have you used it before? How did you feel? Did it prove efficacious when you tried it? And probably what recommendations would you have for whoever that is listening, for those who are also considering. Some might even still have doubts. Do you think this thing would work? Should I try it? And the likes like that. So let's get back to the discuss. Are there any potential risks or limitations associated with the use of prophetic medicine? And how does one navigate this concern? Because in the world today, a lot of people might feel like this one, I don't know if it is, certified. Are there researchers or that you know probably people, renowned authorities, experts who have actually certified that this kind of treatment or therapy is okay and is effective? So instead of probably doing that, don't think I should just stick to my normal, orthodox, conventional, medical practice where I know that tests will be conducted, different machines to diagnose, and we have certified doctors, even though now we are actually having challenges with a lot of them who have actually decided to japa in Nigeria. So that's a big challenge. But then you still feel like those that are still here, they have what it takes to provide that. So what are some of the potential risks or probably limitations to use of prophetic medicine in our country?
Yes, there are some potential risks, and there are so many limitations to the practice of natural medicine, prophetic medicine. And some of this limitation is the fact that so many people claim to have this knowledge of prophetic medicine. There are so many practitioners, there are so many self-acclaimed physicians, experts, but in the reality, in the light of knowledge, they don't have what it takes to be a healthcare provider. Because when you are addressing health issue, you are addressing a very, very fragile issue. And that necessitates that you have, you should be very careful and you have substantial knowledge on what you are doing. So there are so many health conditions, there are so many diseases beyond just headache and beyond just mild infection. There are so many comprehensive health issues that require that you have adequate knowledge on the disease itself and adequate knowledge on the remedies that you want to use to address the disease. So today, we have so many practitioners that they don't have, they are not competent enough. They don't have the knowledge on the particular disease. They don't have the knowledge on, they don't understand what they want to address. They don't understand what they want to treat. They just keep on telling you that, is this what you're having? You're having cancer? No problem. I have so many herbs. And in the long run, they cost more harm than good. The latter cost more harm than good. So one of the limitations is inadequate knowledge of the practitioners. In prophetic medicine is a principle. It's giving us principles that, yes, there are some herbs that, are very effective. There are some herbs that have medicinal properties that can be used to address health conditions. So now, how can we now, integrate this prophetic medicine knowledge into the health conditions that we are having today? You won't see any hadiths that tell you that if you want to treat diabetes, this is what you should use. If you want to treat hypertension, this is what you should use. If you want to treat cancer, there's no hadiths that tells you that. And there are so many, look at COVID-19, there's no hadith that tell you that COVID-19, like a, direct hadith that tell you that COVID-19, you use about to suffer for it. But it is knowledge that tells you that, okay, since COVID-19 is a viral infection, it means that herbs that have antiviral property can be used to, relieve the symptoms. Yeah. So that knowledge is one of what we are having as problem. So most practitioners, they don't have the knowledge base to be able to, come out competently as a healthcare provider. And also, amongst the limitation is misinterpretation of text. Misinterpretation of text. So there are some texts of the prophets in the hadith and some texts of the glorious Quran, whereby, like the hadith of Habat al-Sauda, peace be upon him, where he said, Habat al-Sauda is a cure for all ailments. And for this reason,
and for those of you who don't know, Habat al-Sauda means black seed.
Black seed, yes, Nigella sativum. So that's the botanical name of black seed, Nigella sativum, black seed, Habat al-Sauda. So the prophet said, this black seed is a cure for all ailments except death. And for this reason, some misunderstood the hadith and they took it out of context. No matter what health condition you are having, no matter what else, challenges you are having, they would tell you that this is the only what you should use. This is the only thing you should use, which is misunderstanding of the hadith. There are so many times when the prophet will tell us about something and what he meant is alal aglab, meaning that in most cases, what he meant is that in most cases, this will work. It doesn't mean that in all cases. So the Arab is part of the Arab culture. So let's say if in maybe out of 100 cases, it works for like over 70 cases, then we say, it works for all cases. It doesn't mean that In the context, it means all.
Even understanding textual, provisions are very much necessary for someone to be able to approach prophetic messages. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right.
So, exactly.
Okay, good. So we have this interaction on social media. We have this from Bola, who is one of our regular, followers and, on this program. They say, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for this good topic. In addition to all that you have said, prophetic medicine is an habit to prevent illness and diseases, but does not deter you from seeking medical attention and investigation. Thank you. So, thank you, Bola. So, it means that as much as you might even want to adopt prophetic medicine, that still does not stop us probably from doing normal, investigation, diagnoses, and tests.
Yes, in that regard, I made mention of integrative medicine earlier, and I said it's basically integrating natural medicine practice with, modern scientific diagnostic techniques so as to get the proper diagnosis of the patient, and with that, you know how best to address the patient's health issue. So, and that's part of the limitations which I said some of us are having. Because if you are not having the knowledge base, you are not having, the requirements and what it takes for you to know that, okay, this particular patient, you need to, undergo some certain tests, some certain scan, so as to know what exactly is wrong and you know how best to address it. So if you don't have this, then you will end up causing more harm than good.
Let me in quickly here. Sorry to pause into what you're saying. But then, quite well, for instance, in conventional medicine, we have measurement for even drugs. We have dosage. Do we have such in prophetic medicine?
Okay. Yes and no. The reason why I said yes and no is that some or most prophetic recommended medicine, they come most often in forms of food.
Okay.
Now I will ask you this question. If you are eating banana, do you have dosage like on eating banana? If I should eat two, I must not eat much because of it's very high in potassium and that kind. Do you do that?
No.
If you are eating, maybe you are taking honey, is there any particular dosage at which?
Okay, measure. There is none.
If you are taking orange, apple, pineapple, pawpaw,
there are no garlics. There are no exact.
They you see them as food, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are what we mean by prophetic medicine.
Okay.
Most of these recommendations, they come in form of food. Most of them, they come in form of food.
Okay.
So, and for that reason, let me make myself very clear. Even as healthy as water is, excess in everything will always cause harm.
Yes.
Being excessive in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Taking too much of banana can cause some abdominal discomfort.
Okay.
Even though it's very healthy,
mm-hmm.
though the side effect might be very mild.
Mm-hmm.
It's but it can cause some sort of discomfort.
Too much of everything.
Of everything causes discomfort.
Okay.
So the reason why in conventional medicine, what they use to bring in into the body, they are not even food itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
They use some synthetic materials, chemicals
mm-hmm.
to activate healing process. So they are not food, and for that reason, they need to be taken cautiously.
Okay.
So like now you are using ibuprofen, you are using maybe a patient having very severe pains and is giving morphine, giving different. So it's not a natural substance.
Mm-hmm.
It is not food on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different chemicals put together. And for that reason, you must be very cautious while using it. So, but now if I want to tell you that you need to boost your immune system, and what I want you to be taking is you take a lot of tomatoes, you take a lot of onions, because tomato is, it has lycopene
mm-hmm.
and it has a lot of vitamin C. So do you ask me that, what's the dosage? So I won't take overdose. I'll ask you that you cook with tomato already in your house. So do you ask the dosage of going before you go to the market? do you do so?
No.
You don't do so because it's something natural.
Okay.
So that's why, yes, there are some herbs that it requires, when you are using like some plants, you are using, roots and the likes. So you need to be very cautious.
Okay.
Because those ones initially, they're not even food.
Yeah.
You are using them for medicinal purposes. So you take them with, you are very cautious while taking them.
So for practitioners now, this is where their research, ability comes in to be able to say, okay, this is the exact measure that people should take, and this is the exact amount that we should allow them, take and things like that. So at least with their experience, with their knowledge and their research now, at least they should be able to now specify probably the measure of what people can take, the measure of a particular drug or therapy they are recommending.
There is measurements when you are meeting up with a professional prophetic medicine practitioner. Mm. So doesn't just tell you that just keep on taking about this like that. Mm. It doesn't cause any harm. No, mm. it can if but it's taken in essence.
Very powerful.
Yes, it's very powerful. So there is
take care, can even probably lead to loss of pregnancy.
Yes, of course I know about that.
Because of how powerful.
Yes, I know about that. It's,
so,
yes.
So that's why probably we need to sound that caution, and that's why I'm saying that for prophetic medicine practitioners now. Do they usually also recommend, the measure or some of these things that they?
Yes, they recommend measures, especially if the person is properly trained and the person is qualified as a prophetic medicine practitioner, not just a side hustler that just he got a book, maybe Tibun Nabawi or other books written on prophetic medicine, and automatically just gave himself a name. Like Al-Kinika Ilin Om. So like, where did you get trained? I have books. Because you there will be so many misinterpretations, misconstructions, and reading. You cost more harm than good.
All right, good. That's very incisive. Now, we have this other message we have, although we don't have the name here. This person says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to appreciate the explanation and awareness of the prophetic medicine today. My experience with it has to do with the aspect of hijab, and that's our coping that we talked about, that which has helped my old mother reduce pain by reducing inflammation. I think it is important for Muslims to look more into understanding and exploring the benefits of this prophetic practice by certified practitioners. And also, may I use this platform to call on government for the regulation of prophetic medicine in order to assure compliance with Sharia and safety. So what do you have to say to
Nam, alhamdulillah. So firstly, on the regard of how...
But mind you, thank you to this person that actually sending the message, because we actually don't have the name. Yeah.
Okay, good. So in regard to how coping therapy have been able to help the person's mother to, effectively manage the pains and inflammation, just as I said initially when I was talking about coping.
No problem. I want you to react to that aspect of calling on government
for regulation.
For regulation and, to ensure
some safety. some government parastatals, as far as I know about Lagos State, Kwara State, and I think Ogun State is also having they have a traditional medicine board, which poetic medicine is also an aspect of it.
Okay.
So there is an effort going on regulation, even though the effort have not been very strong enough. And the reason for this is because if you have something that's very tangible, that's very valuable, but you don't know how to present it well to the people, then it's you that know that it's very valuable. Mm. You are the one that you did your research, you did your assignments well, and that what I have is very valuable. But if you don't present it well, no one will take it from you. Yeah. So the problem is mostly coming from we, the practitioners.
Okay.
So if we are we are showing them that yes, these things are working, working very effectively, so then they will see it like, okay, we think we need to take this thing more serious, and
let's pay attention to this. Let us even allow them, let's hear them out, and
let's see what they have to offer,
explore what they have in, and all right.
Yeah.
So how accessible is prophetic medicine to people from different cultural or religious backgrounds? Because a lot of people now say, yeah, I think prophetic medicine as a Prophet Muhammad, and I'm not a Muslim, so can I benefit from this thing now, because it seems it's only probably meant for Muslims.
Oh wow. Prophetic medicine, just as we've made mention of so many prophetic medicine recommendations, so we can all see that it's coming to confirm existing
natural
medicine therapies. Mm-hmm. So it's not like now coping therapy have been practiced in China over 5,000 years, even before the advent of the prophets. So we won't say that it was the one that brought coping, but he confirmed and affirmed it that yes, coping therapy is a cure for lots of health conditions. Black seed have been used in ancient Egypt, have been used in different ages and decades, civilizations. So it's not only meant for Muslims.
Okay.
It's a broad spectrum of natural
medical
herbs
therapies
and plants that everyone can explore. Okay. So we all take honey. Black seed is available everywhere. Onions is cucumber. So these things are, so everyone can get it. Anyone can use it. So it's just, it's increased our own faith in the prophets and in Islam as a whole. That he said these things about, you know, about this plant, he gave, and modern science confirmed that yes, there are so many. So it's increased our own faith. And for you that you are not of the same faith as us, it doesn't stop you from using it because it's already confirmed by modern science. So
all right, good. Now, so how accessible is prophetic?
It's accessible. It's accessible. It's available everywhere.
All right.
It's
available. Now, can prophetic medicine be used as a complementary approach alongside conventional treatment, so that people will feel like that I want to use prophetic medicine does not mean I should jettison totally
conventional medicine.
So
yeah.
What?
Yeah. In fact, there are some certain health conditions that I personally do tell my patient that in this situation you are having, we will have to, use both conventional medicine practices and natural medicine modalities to combat these health conditions. So there are so many health conditions that you need to put both in line so as to get the best result from the patient. So it works well within they work hand in hand, especially if you are getting your treatment from a professional who understands the fact that they can be contraindications. Okay. So if you are placed on some medications or some drugs or some treatment modalities, so the person must understand that this herb or this plant or whatever therapy I will be giving this person, it can contraindicate with what he's already using. So I shouldn't use this, I should use this. So
so it means one way or the other, one needs a knowledge of both to really navigate properly.
Exactly.
All right, good. I like that. Now, so because we know every day new diseases are coming, new vistas are being opened in terms of medical practice. Now, are there, ongoing researches or developments in the field of prophetic medicine?
Yes, there is ongoing researches, and research will continue going till the end of the time. Because just as you said now, new diseases are coming up. There are so many diseases that in the past, just within 3-4 years ago, we never knew them, and now they are existing as if they've been with us for very long. And that's how it will continue, till the end of time. In as much we are still living, so new diseases will keep on coming up.
I came across one disease just last year. I have never come across it. I've never had it before. Lupus.
Lupus.
Sincerely, I was like, wow, what is this? And he said, it's very, very...
Yes, it's an autoimmune disease, and that makes it very terrible. If a disease is said to be autoimmune, it's a deadly disease. Do you know why? You know, let me just give it. The reason is that if it's autoimmune, it means it is the immune system itself that is fighting the body. Wow. You know, the immune system is the body defense mechanism. It is the defense system of the body.
It helps
the body to defend against pathogens and other, Now, it is now the one fighting the body. So if the immune system is fighting the body, who will defend the body? You've seen why it's very dangerous. So that's why it's very, very dangerous and it requires tactics. And
so it means, for instance, now we also need more medical, researches, especially in the area of prophetic medicine.
Yes,
probably we would need, because the same way we would say, oh, we have different philanthropies, different organizations, governmental, non-governmental, sponsoring medical research. So how well, for instance, do we also need such level of sponsorship or support or partnerships in the area of prophetic medicine?
We need as much as possible, because one of the loopholes, one of the down parts we are having in prophetic medicine is that there is not enough support from individuals, from governments, from different organizations to sponsor researches. Most researches are individualized research, so it's not, and if it's individualized, mostly coming from someone who is not very well to, like, financially, there will be limitations. Mm-hmm. Good, there will be limitations.
The scope would also be limited.
It will be limited, because if we are talking on clinical research on medications, on drugs, there are lots of things that will be considered. In conventional medicine practice, before a particular drug can be confirmed that yes, this drug is anti-inflammatory and it is certified, there have been series of clinical researches, thousands of people from different walks of life, different ages, different size, different, you know, colors, different tribes, the areas, they would have been given the medication, and, you know, the report would have been gotten, like, okay, how do you react? Now, if you want to do such with prophetic medicine, so we need a lot of, you know, funds. Because you have to, like, you know, you give different people from different, thousands of people, you give them for free for some specific period of time. Maybe six months, maybe 1 year. So you get, you monitor it, you get a response from them.
Sometimes it's actually longitudinal research that you take. So, you know, you see, you monitor different development taking place in the people on the basis of their
and with that, so you document and so it's quite very intensive, and we've not been able to see. Though in the Arab world, they are working on that already, and we have some of their documents. So, but still, we need such also in our environment, and so that's some of the limitations.
So, well, we hope that people would hear this and they would sponsor some of this. On a final note, is this so how can individuals incorporate prophetic medicine principles into their daily lives for better health and well-being?
Yes, we can inculcate prophetic medicine in our lives for better health and well-being. If you understand, just as I said in the first instance, that prophetic medicine is an aspect of natural medicine, and under natural medicine, part of the principles is that you try to prevent, you know. The scholars of Islam will say, "Al-wiqayatu khayru min al-ilaj." Prevention is always better than cure. Yeah. So, by preventing ailments, you prevent ailments by ensuring that you live a healthy life, you consume healthy foods, you try to be active so that your body cells and tissues and organs will be very active. So, yeah, you try to have enough sleep, enough rest, and you take some of these, you know, plants, some of these fruits and foods that are recommended by the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this will assist to have optimal health. It will help to improve the immune function. It will help to, you know, detoxify the system. And so basically, living healthy, staying healthy is part of the prophetic way.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been a wonderful, experience. In fact, it's a learning experience for me, being on the show today. And I want to believe that many of us too, we have, learned a lot from this session, for the fact that it is prophetic medicine. It's for those of us who are Muslims, more importantly, you know that it's part of your faith. And Islam goes beyond just the issue of observing salat or doing some of this spiritual rites. There are also the fact that Islam is very comprehensive and deals with every aspect of our lives. And there is no aspect of our life that it has left untouched, including even how we take care of our health. And now we have the prophetic guidance in form of medicine that we can also use to navigate, you know, health challenges in our lives. So alhamdulillah rabbil alamin for Islam, alhamdulillah for our guest naturopath Abdullah Oyekole Andrew, for the experiences and the insights that he has shared with us concerning prophetic medicine. And I want to believe that you also, you have learned a lot. So, appreciation to him. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless you,
Ameen,
and your family and your work.
Ameen.
And may you also get a whole lot of support and funding that you also probably need to carry out, further research in this area. And to you, our listeners, we can't thank you enough. We are here because we know you are there, and we cannot do this without you. So, we appreciate you. It's been a pleasure, taking you through the program today. Alhamdulillah. But I will also appreciate all those who have sent in messages, who shared their experiences with us concerning the use of prophetic medicine. So thank you very much. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good health and give us long life, dedicated to the service of Allah and the benefit of humanity in good health. So that good health is very, very important. I pray that for all those that are experiencing one health challenge or the other, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the wherewithal to overcome this problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you shifa, healing from all that you're experiencing. So it is on this note that inshallah, bi qudratillah, we'll be drawing the curtains on the program Everyday Muslim for today. So Everyday Muslim, inshallah, will make its way back next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7. I remain your brother in Islam, Abdul Hakim Qasim. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
Around the corner, somewhere there's a love just for me.